Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in the steps one day at a time. I'm from the state of New York. And today is Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 54, second paragraph, which begins, "Imagine life without faith." And it ends with, "At least so the chemist said." We're reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Debbie P., 12 Traditions, Nicole C. Penny L.C. will get us started with the text. Robin P. is our backup reader. Oh, page 164, Lorraine N. Sorry, I skipped over you. Newcomer greeter, Leah S., and the announcements will be Reggie O. Thank you again, everyone, for your service. The reference numbers. Yesterday, Monday, January 9th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 19,835, 19835. This morning's meeting, Tuesday, January 10th, 2023, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, was 19,837, 19837. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested by the program. And I will now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, fellows on the line. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie. And Nicole C., will you please read the traditions for us?
Yes, thank you for your service, Diane. This is Nicole C., grateful member in Washington State, the 12th Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nicole. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we also request that you do not use the, the speaker function. Thank you. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 54, and we are on, We're on page 54, second paragraph. Sorry about that, guys. We are starting off with Imagine Life Without Faith, and we're reading that one paragraph only. So Penny, LC, can you please get us started on that?
Yes, thank you, Diane. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Imagine life without faith. Were nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. But we believed in life. Of course we did. We couldn't prove life in the sense that you can prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Yet there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling on to a destiny of nothingness? Of course we couldn't. The electrons themselves seemed more intelligent than that, at least so the chemist said. And I appreciate the idea of that this is a perspective of meaninglessness. You know, I don't know what higher power is, and yet I choose to believe in the higher power. And now having worked the steps, I can see the evidence. You know, I have that purpose to be of service within myself now, to have that clear understanding. My life has a meaning. You know, I now understand that perhaps the intention for my unknowing of what higher power is that way by design. It offers me the opportunity to choose faith in the existence of God, or my higher power, as I term it. And what is faith? Well, the definition says basically in complete trust in someone or something. Well, that leads me to a belief in the unknown and the unknowable. And the outcome is, you know, is when I believe in God, then I am able to believe other things that I can't see and can't know for sure. To me, this translates to I can believe that the higher power of my understanding is there for me 24/7, is guiding me, is loving me unconditionally, etc. What I've learned in recovery is that I just need to trust, even when there are things unknown. And if you think about it, scientifically, you know, we trust a lot of things. We trust medications, treatments, vaccines to do what they're meant to do. And we take them on faith. You know, and so I can take the treatment and trust it'll work for me. And I can choose to believe in a higher power and trust it'll work for me. And I just wanted to share a version of the Serenity Prayer that was that came to me this morning. And that is, God, grant me the serenity to accept what I'm not meant to know, the courage to trust in what I don't know, and the wisdom to know that it's meant to be that way. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Penny C. That was beautiful. Okay, so we are now going to open up the line for people who would like to share. Please give me your name and the initial of your last name and your state. Star one to unmute.
Kelly H., North Carolina.
Kelly H., North Carolina.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Thank you, Robin. So I want to unmute.
I'm Barbara from New Jersey.
Barbara, New Jersey. And I think I heard a Tom in there.
Barbara Wynn? Oh.
I got you, Barbara. New Jersey? I mean, sorry. Who was the man? Was it Tom?
Tom L. from California.
Tom L. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? We have a good lineup, but we could take more. Okay, if you're not the speaker, please mute your phone. And we're going to start off with Kelly H. in North Carolina, followed by Robin P. Kelly, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Kelly H., North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater. This paragraph is cracking me up a little bit because I've been relapse queen this whole, practically the whole of 2022. But even in identifying in like that, that is no, I guess, permission to continue on. So here I am this morning, white knuckling, and I'm experiencing just an incredible spiritual journey. Since we started this year, it's not been what maybe I would have called perfect in the previous years, but committed to this program. I had to lay down more than just food. Recently, I had to lay down other things that triggered me until I have this resolve to stay and abide in God. I just don't have it. And so this morning, while the food is abstinent, I've been white knuckling this morning. And I have been absolutely trying to reason. Now, Kelly, you calorically, you've had enough for breakfast, like maybe not even in that harsh tone, but it's been like that. I've been trying to reason my way into trying to wait until lunch. Don't don't reach for the, you know, the stuff on the counter that, you know, my husband and my boys could easily have access to and claim a good breakfast. It's not for me. And so I'm trying to stay in program. I'm listening. I'm journaling. I'm picking up the tools instead of the stuff on the counter. But I'm cracking up because here I am. I'm trying to abide in pure reason, and it's not enough. But it's a good start. And so, you know, sometimes that's all a girl needs is a good start. And I'm looking forward to the day. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Excuse me. Next, we have Robin P. from Costa Rica.
Thanks so much, Diane, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Oh, my gosh. You know, I had a life that did not work, and I did not have faith at all. I was raised an atheist, and I was desperate for faith, and I saw God on the walls and ran. And someone said, just faith in any power greater than your God, which was food. And whatever I turn to is my God. So, you know, I'm so grateful. I had a spiritual awakening of profound variety and after I came into the rooms, and this was my bridge to God. And I have a faith, what kept coming to me was a faith that works. I have a faith that works today. Thank God, you know, having just traveled to 27 cities throughout Europe in 3 months abstinently and celebrated 7 years of abstinence by God's grace on Christmas with life happening. You know, my father-in-law passed away and we're going back for his funeral. And just like this is life on life's terms, but with a faith that works. And that begins with abstinence and then working the steps, having a God squad, being of service. It's really following the winners. You know, if I want to be a winner, I get to follow what the winners do. And my sponsor, who I just adore, and just my friends in the program, it's such a heart-centered faith. You know, I just wanted to say also that I think that for me, I'm so grateful for the first share, but I believe that the vaccines are a controversial outside issue. I've had friends who died from them and were very seriously injured. And so I just wanted to put it out there that sometimes, you know, we all have our own medical, you know, I believe some people are very Western, some people aren't. And I just think that's an outside issue for me for today. And just the hairs on my back. So I'm very grateful for abstinence and recovery, and I'm very grateful for a faith that works. And God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Robin. Next, we have Barbara from New Jersey. And Barbara, could you give us the initial of your last name, please? So I want to unmute. Barbara, star one to unmute. Okay, we're going to skip down to Tom, and then we'll come back to see if Barbara came back. So we have Tom L. from California.
Hi, this is Tom L. from rainy California. The rest of the country doesn't feel sorry for us. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was struck by the first speaker's description of, you know, using the medical analogy. I mean, Bill's using the science, the physics analogy. My bottom this time, a year and a half ago, it was accelerated by the fact that I suffer from a disease I had no idea I had. I was 100 pounds heavier than I am now. I was working at home. This is about 2.5 years ago, and I was sitting in a bad chair. And I developed a blood clot in my leg. Didn't know that. Then it went to my heart, my lungs. I discovered that that's when you have trouble breathing, that's when you notice something's wrong. And they said, yeah, you almost died. I'm glad you got to the hospital. I was on heparin for several days. And I was sitting there going, you know, I could have been switched off. But did that stop me from overeating? No. I went on another year gaining weight. And then a series of other factors, including my marriage and my sanity, came into work. I came back to OA, and I surrendered to this program, not knowing that it was going to work again. It's the only thing that's ever worked, but I was losing interest and do other things. Anyway, I take a medication. Hopefully, this is not controversial. I had no idea it existed. It's a new medication, and you have to take it for the rest of your life because I have a genetic defect, turns out, that causes my blood to clot very quickly compared to other people, which can kill me. So I also need to be sober with food and other things. But I've been taking this stupid blue pill, paying money for it, for a year and a half. And when I forget to take it, now have I really checked it out? Have I checked my own DNA to see if I am in fact this way? Have I gone to the manufacturer's website? Have I really cross-examined the science behind this? Nope. I have absolute faith in the doctor who looked at me very seriously saying, if you don't take this every day, you're going to die. And having almost died, I trust the man. I don't know why. Maybe it's his diploma. But in OA, same thing. I have a horrible disease. Many of us here suffer from it. It ain't ever going to go away. I need daily treatment. You know, could I maybe figure a way around it? I don't know. I'm 55. I'm probably going to die, you know, not too distant future. I don't have time to figure it out. I have to trust. It's working so far. I'm down 100 pounds. I'm going in to do interviews today on the other side of the desk. Not begging for a job, but listening to people who need a job. And that has never happened before because I've been too flaky my whole life. So this recovery works. This book, I don't know why. It just, you know, I had to give up and say, okay, let's do this thing. It seems to work for people like me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Tom. Good luck with the interviewing. So now we have Barbara from New Jersey. Are you there? Star one to unmute, please. Okay, I guess we lost Barbara. So I am now ready to take more names. Your first name, the initial of your last name, and your state, please. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Leah.
Hey, Leah.
Okay.
Star one to unmute if you'd like to share. Okay, Leah S. from New York. I'm sorry, who is this?
Jen Z. from California.
Jen Z., great, thank you. Anybody else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, I've got Leah S., Jen Z and Jordan L. Leah S, star one to unmute. And if you're not the speaker, please mute your phones again. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, Diane. This is Leah S from Brooklyn, New York. So grateful and recovered. And glad to be on this meeting. Okay. So this paragraph is talking about my resentments when I came into this program. I was resentful. You're going to tell me what to do. You're going to tell me how to do it. You're going to do, you know, like, don't make me over. And that part of me that was always resentful is so resonating with Bill's story. When on page 9, he finally, the whole The whole chapter, he's saying, oh, you know what, I remember my old grandfather in the cathedral, you know, making cynicism out of that. And I also did this kind of resentment and cynicism, you know, like I didn't want to admit, you know, I have a lot of weight to lose, but what does that have to do with the cathedral? What does it have to do with people lying to me or not lying to me? Because people are people, and they will be people. But what I have to find is my own personal higher power. Because I can't go about philosophizing and theorizing everything about people and life. I needed to learn humility. And this is what this paragraph is teaching me. The very first step, when I took this first step, is humility. I need to surrender everything that I thought I know, everything that I think I know better than you. The truth is, you might tell me something that might be worthwhile for me. And for sure, you told me all about these steps and these programs, and I maintained this 70-pound weight loss for 8 years. So it's not about cynicism. It's not about resentment. It's about keeping Leia, just Leia, to be able to communicate and live life on life's terms. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leia. Next, we have Jen Z.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia from California. And what I'm hearing today in this paragraph and the shares is trust and faith. And, you know, I've been struggling with trust and faith. You know, they say that faith is the opposite of fear. And, you know, if I have trust, then I can have faith. And then it's not that I'm not going to have fear, because fear is a part of life, but I believe, but with faith, I have a remedy for the fear. I think, you know, I know that when I'm in fear, I'm in myself and self-obsession, and, you know, it's detrimental. When I'm in faith, I have serenity, and I have calmness, and I have peace. And, you know, it's just making that leap, you know, over to have that trust and have that faith. And I have faith because, you know, God carried me even when I turned my back on him. He still took care of me even when I rejected him. And, you know, that to me is proof that there is a power greater than myself, and that he does work in my life, you know. It's like that prayer where the person saying that during the hardest times in their life, they looked at the footprints in the sand of them walking with God, and there was only one set of footprints, and they're like, God, why did you abandon me? And God's like, I was carrying you, you know? And that's kind of how I feel about the whole trust and faith thing, you know, is that that I can trust in my higher power. I can have that faith, you know, because he's demonstrated to me that he works in my life by carrying me when I couldn't do it myself. You know, even when I rejected that, the whole God thing, you know, and so coming to this program has really helped me to solidify my concept of higher power. It's just a matter now of, you know, turning it over and, you know, practicing that faith. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Hope everyone has a good day.
Thank you, Jen. Next, we have Jordan L. from Colorado.
Hey, good morning, Diane. Thank you for moderating for us. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous. Yeah, Bill's, he's kind of been like going back between faith and reason and faith and reason and kind of like weighing the pros and cons of each, right? and sort of building these arguments
or maybe not arguments, but building some conversation around it so that, like, the reader can start asking themselves what some of these terms mean to them personally. And it's actually, it's a pretty incredible way to, like, start talking to someone that you really don't know personally about a very personal subject, to get them thinking about it a little bit more and questioning what these things mean to them personally. And I like this paragraph especially. It's the first time that Bill kind of marries both faith and intelligence in the same paragraph. You know, like, he's talking about these electrons seeming more intelligent than just whirling on towards nothing, right? and so he's kind of like, he's kind of showing us how, like, both faith and intelligence can exist together. Both faith and reason have a place, can have a place in our spiritual foundation that we're kind of, like, building at this point, right? Even if we don't know we're building it, that's kind of what we're doing at this point in time. A couple of years into recovery now, I really, the line about believing in life, I got to tell you, like, I really believe in life more so than ever. There's a lot of things that I've had to, like, as I've stayed abstinent, there's a lot more than just the food that I've had to turn over to a higher power in order to stay abstinent. And it's kind of, it just sort of, like, unfolds. And I just try to kind of, like, keep up with it, you know? It's not really something that can be managed or controlled. I just sort of, like, lean into it. And this faith, it continues to build. And I got to say, too, like, my reason continues to build as well. My intelligence continues to build.
Gentle reminder.
And I stay on this path. And I'm grateful to be on it with all of you this morning. So that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay, we're open for more shares. We have about 15 minutes left, so I could take four shares.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G.
Nicole C. in Washington State.
Nicole C., thank you.
Ricky H. from Illinois.
Is that Ricky?
Yes, Ricky.
Okay. Thank you, Ricky. Let's go for one more if we have someone who would like to share.
Christina from Romania, is there time?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Christina.
Christina, thank you.
Can you hear it? Yes. Thank you. From Romania.
From Romania. Great. Okay, let's start with Larry G., please, followed by Nicole C.
Yes, good morning. My name is Larry G. I'm from California, and I am profoundly grateful to be part of this fellowship, and so grateful that a member of this program was my Abby and 12-step in the intervision for you. You know, maybe the atheists are right. Maybe there is no God. Maybe we're just making all the stuff up. Maybe all these great sages and saints of all religions was a conspiracy theory after all. But, you know, I think faith for me is like having fire insurance on my home. You know, fire insurance is, I might think it's unnecessary time, but I don't want to, you know, be wrong. And also in terms of God, I don't want to be wrong, right? And it just works. It works so well this last 3 years of turning my will over to a power greater than myself. You know, I think the people say they know God, don't know God, and I think people say they don't know God, don't know God. I mean, how can we, how can the human mind comprehend the infinite, right? So Bill is introducing us now, moving from believing, which is, for me, it's halfway there, half the battle, to now developing a faith in a power greater than myself. And I want to share a personal story. I went to a dealership. I was in a dealership yesterday from 10 to 4. I bought a new car. And I was there, and the pressure that I felt, the stress I felt, was just enormous. And they have a cafe there, and they have vending machines and all sorts of things, you know, to help you to ease that stress. I'm sure it's why it's there. And I excused myself, and I went to the bathroom, and there was no one in that bathroom. I got on my knees and I said, God, you take this. If you want me here, then, you know, you let me know. If not, I will go. And you guide me through this process. You help me see these men as human beings and here to help me. And I was sat there from 10 to 4 reading every document. I walked out of there with a really nice car. I have to tell you, I got home and I had my planned meal that I had already looked in with my sponsor. Now, I don't know about you, but this compulsive eater, my head would have been in that cafe all day. I would have made a beeline, wore the carpet out to that cafe. I would have had as much flour and sugar to numb the stress, numb the feelings. And that would have been my faith. That would have been my solution. But today, my solution is in a power greater than myself, and I am an imperfect man. I don't walk in water. I am recovered, but I don't walk in water. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give up this life for anything, because when I came to this program in May of 2020, I was desperate. I said, you know, I cannot live another day without you, God. I mean, either take me or take this disease. And that's one thing I've done pretty consistently, is to go to God on most occasions. And I did yesterday, and I'm here to tell
you,
I'm in the Sober Madness program, and I'm here to pass it back to you. Thank you, moderator.
Thank you, Larry. Next, we have Nicole C. from Washington.
Thank you, Diane. This is Nicole C. in Washington State, grateful member of this program. That line, were nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life, made me think the opposite. You know, if it's not life, it's death. It's not existence. And for me, life without faith of some kind is, you know, it is just reason, but it's empty reason, and it's never satisfied reason, because some of the miracles that I've experienced are without reason in the material world. They can only be reasonably explained by the presence of a loving power greater than me. My reasoning had me worshiping other people and, of course, food. My reasoning had me believing that I need to figure out and control other people and, of course, food. My reasoning had me harming myself and others. My reasoning had me, like it says in there, whirling onto a destiny of nothingness, because my reasoning had me leaning on fear to guide me. And I am deeply grateful that today I'm leaning into faith and having an entirely different experience with life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Next, I have Ricky from Illinois.
Hi, it's Ricky H. from Illinois. Faith for me is it's been an interesting path for me with faith. I think I've shared on this meeting before that I grew up with none. My parents gave me no religion, no talk of God, and no sense of belonging in a way. And when I got divorced at a young age and was left with my eating disorder, I found OA. And that's where I found a sense of belonging from the minute I walked in the rooms. There was no faith in God, though. I still could not believe in anything outside of myself. I actually followed a man. That's how I got into OA. I was following a man. So I remember being told, it doesn't matter if you don't have faith. It doesn't matter how you grew up or your background. Just continue to come to the meetings. Continue to work the program. And that's what I did because that's where I felt I belonged. It was the only place I was understood as a fat woman. And I don't know where it happened. I don't know where along the way. I mean, throughout the years, let's see, my daughter was about 5 when I got into OA, and she's turning 40 this year. So, again, I don't know where it happened along the way because all I did was continue to keep coming back. You know, sometimes more involved than other times, depending on what was happening in my life, but program has always been there. And somewhere along the way, I started to get faith in God. And today, God is number one in my life. I am powerless over everything. I'm powerless over my eating. I know that, but I am not powerless over working the program. And that's what I did all these years. And today, what I have is a life. I have a life, a marriage. I have relationships. I have a normal body, which I know for a fact I would not have today if I still had the attitude I had that day I walked into the rooms. Every night in my daily review, my main thing to write in what my part is, of course, I ask myself, you know, have I been resentful? Am I selfish? Have I been dishonest? Have I been afraid? Whatever the situation is, the answer is always, always let go, always let God, trusting that whatever happens is what's meant to be, and there's no need for me to understand the reasons why. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ricky. Next, we have Christina. If you could give us the initial of your last name, and you're from Romania, I believe. Star one to unmute. Christina, star one. Okay. I have time for one share or two short shares if anybody wants to jump in. Star one to unmute.
Hello, sorry, can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Who's this?
Oh, I'm really sorry. This is Christina. Sorry.
No worries.
First time in this meeting.
Yes, and what's
okay.
The initial of your last name, please?
M.
M, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Christina, compulsive overeater from Romania. Grateful to be in this meeting. I'm fairly new to OA, and I've been in another 12 steps program, and I believe God led me to OA. And I understand that, I understand now that knowledge and reading the literature and trying to go on my own and follow a food plan on my own and doing everything on my own, it's not really working, like, because I've been struggling and isolating with this. And it's also about having faith in my higher power and knowing that God works through people. And I need to do the steps and surrender my food daily and do what was recommended to me when I found OA, because yeah, I've been really struggling, and I'm not able to do this on my own. So, grateful to be in this meeting. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina. We have time for Let's see. We have time for one more share. Anybody want to jump in? And please press that star one to mute if you're not speaking. Thank you. Somebody's not
Lynn
muted.
Lynn from Milwaukee.
Okay, Lynn, go for it. Thank you. Milwaukee is Wisconsin, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and your last initial?
Chicago is a suburb.
Oh, I see. And what's your last, the initial of your last name?
H.
A as in Adam?
No, H as in heaven.
Great. Thank you, Lynn. Go ahead.
Well, just briefly, I came into the world with only, instead of 23 pairs of chromosomes, 22 pairs and a half. And, you know, I still have life. Right now, my husband died in September, so I'm a new widow, and life is challenging. Life is very challenging, but I am living on faith. I am living that this too will pass. I'm reaching out. I'm staying connected to program, following my food plan, and trusting that, this too will pass. And I will pass with that.
Thank you, Lynn. Short and sweet. We still have time for one more share, for a short one, like 1 or 2 minutes. Anybody else?
This is Mary B.
Okay, Mary, go for it. Thank you.
Thank you, moderator. This is Mary B., grateful, recovered, but not cured, compulsive overeater here in beautiful Mesa, Arizona, and happy to be on a meeting of my fellows, my other people that share my affliction, that also share my recovery. It's just amazing that this much time has passed for me. When you think of the years I spent in this program, fighting it tooth and nail, fighting the program, fighting the recovery, didn't want to do it the way it was suggested, thought you were all crazy, and I was the only smart one. Wrong answer. But today I'm free. I am free from the bondage of compulsive overeating. And for a person like me to say something like that is a freaking miracle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My heart is just busting with gratitude right now. Thank you for all who do service that share. Thank you for the outreach calls. Thank you for calling me back when I call you and leave a message. The outpouring of love that comes from this program is something I've never experienced before in my life, and I'm so grateful. And I just want to close with that, and I hope you all have a blessed, abstinent day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Mary B. I'm so happy you were able to squeeze in there. Okie doke. So let's see. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And so, Lorraine N., will you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning and thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., compulsive eater, recovered gratefully in Oregon. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.